Welcome, everybody, to the very first episode of Mind of the Collector, featuring me, Joe's Card Shack, and Robbie. Go ahead with your IG.
Yeah, with 412 Sports Cards.
All right. Very glad to have you here, Robbie.
I am very glad to be here. This is exciting to start a new podcast. Exciting to get another collector-oriented show out there into the hobby landscape. And excited for all that's in store.
Absolutely. All the collector-driven content needs to be more so. Even if we get, like, I don't care, like, 3 listeners a week, we will be here as much as we can trying to put out collector-based content. So if you like that, you're going to like this podcast. We hope.
I think you will. I think you will. Joe's put in a lot of work here to get us off the ground. And yeah, Joe, where do you want to begin today?
Well, here's where I'll start. So I want to say last week, Labor Day weekend, I had a card show in Shipshawana, Indiana.
Classic.
Put on by Brad Beeman, probably the best show promoter in the Midwest, one of the best shows in the country. Something that I look forward to. He does it. Yeah. Quarterly. He does it quarterly, 4 times a year usually. So something that I always mark off my calendar, and it's worth the trip if you're close. So I did pretty well at that show. I walked in with a mindset that I'm going to sell some stuff, and I sold off almost everything. What I didn't, I sold most of what I had. I had a few stragglers that are on my eBay right now. One's already gone. So looking forward to getting through that inventory. And then I got some fresh inventory for Detroit, which is this week. So week
oh,
off.
Oh, that's got to be a good one for you.
Oh, yeah. A week off in between and show week off and then another show. So this one's the Detroit Spectacular, put on by the same people that run the Chicago Spectacular. So big expectations.
Oh, that does have pretty high expectations. The Chicago, the Sports Card Spectacular or something? That's a big show.
Yeah, and it's in the same venue that they have the National, which is really cool. It doesn't take up the same amount of space. I think they close like half of it off, but like it's still just to be in that building, the energy in that building is amazing. So
that's the type of show that, even though it's a bigger show, still being in Detroit could bode pretty well for you for Tigers pickups. I think people, just whether they're dealers from the Detroit area or dealers from out of town, I feel like they're in Detroit, they're like, cool, let's bust out all of our Tigers inventory. And you just tend to see a lot.
I'm making sure I don't miss anything. So I'm doing something I've never done for a card show before. I am taking all of my Miggies, putting them into a Zion case, and I'm taking them with me.
Yeah, I think that's perhaps a smart move. You feel weird doing it because you don't want to entertain the idea of ever parting with any of them. But at a show like this, you kind of want to be prepared because you feel like there's actually a chance that something might show up.
Right. And this is the first time I've ever been to a card show in Detroit. So this will definitely be an experience. I'm very happy to report back here what happened next Monday. So
yeah, I'll be looking forward to it. I always like hearing the card show recaps and shows like that. That one sounds like it's got a lot of potential for you in particular. So we will stay tuned.
This beauty right here is an 11 by 14. This is a picture I took at a game.
And oh, that's awesome.
It's kind of hard to see, but I got Scooble mid stretch about to pitch.
Yeah.
And then I got Riley Green over here in right field. I'm getting this signed by Scooble and Green at the show. So I'm super excited.
You're doing autographs at the show?
Yeah. I had Torque too, but with him being sent down, unfortunately, he had to cancel his signing. So.
Oh. It's like insult to injury.
Yeah.
That is going to be so awesome. That's a great, great piece to have. Photo you took signed by two of your favorites players on the team.
I've been buying a lot of Riley Green. I started the season with none, unfortunately. But I've been buying a lot of Riley Green, and this is probably my favorite. This is a sapphire Topps Chrome, gold, jersey number, rookie autograph, PSA 10.
That is quite the card. Now I'm kind of surprised. So you like that more than the, I forget if it was a museum or a transcendent or definitive, or no, sorry. You had a dynasty patch auto of him, didn't you?
I
but
have a
then you
dynasty.
replaced it with a transcendent.
I have a dynasty, I have a transcendent, and I have a diamond icons. The diamond icons will not stay. That will be for sure available in Detroit. I'm going to bring all of them except for, I'm not even going to bring this.
Yeah, if you like it the most. But I'm surprised. So you like that more than you like the dynasty.
I didn't think that I would, but the buying the Sapphire, that started a friendship with Crazy for Cars LLC, Alec.
Mm-hmm.
I bought this card off of him. I messaged him for advice on a price of one I was eyeing on eBay. And he's like, well, I have a couple of those if you want to buy one. And I'm like,
oh, wow.
I'm like, okay. So I bought the jersey number raw. And then I sent that into PSA. I came back a 10. And ever since then, we've been pretty tight. Actually, every Riley Green except for the Transcendent that I own, I've bought off Alec.
Dang, this man is the Riley Green pipeline.
He has the most insane Riley Green collection in the entire world, and it's not even close.
Now, you got to fill me in and the listeners who might not be as in tune as me. How has Riley Green been doing this year? How has it been looking? I feel like the Tigers have kind of had the ups and the downs this
Riley
year.
Started off really, really hot, like, and then he's kind of cooled off, and like, he hadn't hit a home run in, I don't think, May up until the Boston series. He hit one over the Monster.
Mm-hmm.
But it just seems like, you know, when he struggles, he comes back, and he's just a guy that you're extremely elated to have on your team. You know what I mean? Just,
yeah,
absolute professional and a professional leader. So just somebody that anybody would want on the team.
It's fun to have those players on your current roster, especially I would say young guys on your current roster who you like, first of all, as a fan, but then they give you that chance to explore some of the sets. They give you a reason to buy a Diamond Icons patch auto, a reason to buy that vertical dynasty. I don't know if people know what I'm talking about, but there are fairly like common vertical dynasty patch autos in this year's stuff. I think on eBay they look very nice. I've seen the David Ortiz ones. I kind of like them better than their horizontal base counterparts. I guess I'd call this like an insert card. It's like not a true dynasty patch auto. But I think that having the chance and the reasoning to purchase those is pretty exciting, because for me, I see David Ortiz, who is a prolific signer, in a ton of these sets, but there's really no motivation because he's not like a rookie or anything. Or, you know, I'm like, I'll just wait around. But you have reason to go out there and grab them. Yeah, for anyone who's on video, are we doing video? If we are,
if you want to upload it to your YouTube, I can get you a way to do that, but that'll be up to you. You do not have a YouTube.
Okay, but we're just going to do audio, but that's for my benefit. Those are awesome looking cards. I think there's a lot of signers in that vertical subset this
you
year
can't,
too.
You, in my opinion, you can't beat the action shot.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, and you've never had that on the horizontal dynasty. And really until this year, I think there's almost no vertical ones. Unless they were like really I'm trying to even think of what they would have been. I don't know if they did exist.
I don't believe so. I believe this was the first year. But, I mean, it's dynasty. It's sealed. It's, you know, the patches are ridiculous. And then, of course, you get the on-card auto and the low numbering. So, as a collector, this is something I'm very grateful for, because I wasn't big on dynasty before just like the smiling shots or whatever it was. But
mm-hmm.
action shots, you put an action shot on a card and then you put the foil on it. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, those vertical ones have nice looking foil.
Yeah, you just, that's a collector card right there.
Yeah, and those boxes are so out of hand that the prices, like if you opened it and you, I don't know, insert breaker does you gets you a personal box and you pull that Riley Green, you're probably not very pleased because the value isn't getting close to your box. But you, the Riley Green collector, are very excited by that card and gets you a way to explore the set at, you know, a fraction of a box price.
Is there anything that you wanted to touch on? I know that took up a lot of time. My apologies.
Oh, no. I was having fun talking about it. I don't know. I've been kind of laying relatively low on the buying recently. My eBay saved searches are not pulling through in the way that they used to. And I don't want to widen my net to, like, new things. So I've been pretty patient. I mean, I'm at the point where really I'm reeling in only, I would say, 4 cards a month, maybe, through the eBay safe search that are of interest to try for. And then some of them do not pan out. So I've been pretty selective. But I will say I am eagerly awaiting the fall where there should be new collegiate releases, licensed collegiate releases, which I'm going to have a lot of fun with. I'm really, my dream and what I look for, and what I'm hoping for more than anything, is the appearance of a new Notre Dame game-used jersey piece in a card. There's only one from recent stuff that I've seen, which was a Brady Quinn game-used patch auto.
That's cool. But
yeah, it was really cool. I was exploring best offer, and a friend of mine from a group chat actually just hit the bin. So I was like, well, I wasn't going to pay the full bin, so no hard feelings, but that stuff just kind of goes fast. But yeah, I don't know, just having fun with the current PC. Got a gift in from a friend of a Kyle Hamilton patch auto for the Notre Dame PC. Doing pretty well in the pros. Pretty happy with that. Just now I'm just hunting for a Kyron Williams, really. Good Kyron Williams Notre Dame card.
Well, it's times like these that make you appreciate when the save searches are coming through.
Oh yeah. I know. I kind of see them and I'm like, I see the Crosby patch and I'm like, this one has been dry in terms of producing just sick patches. But with the high standards, and it's built a good collection so far.
So speaking of collecting, I'm a big Tigers collector, and you're a big Pirates fan. I don't know how big of a Pirates collector you are, but I know you're.
I got some.
You got some?
I got some. I don't have a ton.
I'm gonna have you pronounce this guy's name because I do not want to get it wrong and get laughed at. But what's the name of your phenomenal pitcher you guys got?
Paul Skeens.
Skeens. Okay, I didn't know how to pronounce his last name.
Yeah, Paul Skeens has been on, has, I think, has certainly lived up to the pick slot already. I mean, I know when you draft an experienced collegiate player, you kind of want to see him move through the ranks pretty fast. But often, I know that sometimes the people who make it to the bigs in their first year after being drafted, they could start really hot and then they kind of cool off as the league kind of adjusts to them and they maybe aren't ready to make that, you know, counter punch. But I think what's he got right now? sub 2.5 ERA through 4 starts, I think it is.
And if he wouldn't have put up so many in that first start, he would be under 1, correct?
I do. Well, I don't know if he'd be under 1, but he'd be darn close. That first start, he gave up a number. He'd definitely be under like 1.5. I mean, he's been really very, very solid. He's got strikeout stuff. And quite honestly, the Pirates starting pitching has turned into, and I never thought I would say this, but a real strength with him. And then Jared Jones, who kind of from nowhere became a good pitcher. And Mitch Keller, who we paid, and Bailey Falter was also kind of good. So Pirates are actually pitching pretty good. But yeah, very excited about Paul Skeens. Don't own any cards, but it is cool to see.
So I want to talk about his recent Bowman Super autograph sale. We have a 2022 Bowman Draft Paul Skeens Super Fractor Auto, 1/1 PSA 7/10 auto, selling for $80,520. I want to hear your thoughts, your
I mean,
initial.
first of all, that's a huge sum of money for any card. It is a huge sum of money for a pitcher who historically do not sell. I'd be interested if you went and you pulled super autos of like Clayton Kershaw or Justin Verlander or like Tim Lincecum. I'm trying to think of like the most hype names, right? Like
Well,
what would
you don't
those.
have to ask me to research Verlander. I'll do that.
Yeah, well, there you go. But I Verlander, it's I'd be interested to see like what those kind of guys, if those cards ever surfaced, what they went for. 80 to me feels, on one hand, like I look at what guys like Drew Jones and other big name like hitters have gone for their supers, and it feels kind of like a bargain compared to that, especially when you consider that at the time of that sale, Paul Skeens had already demonstrated at the major league level success. Granted, small sample size, but that's something that couldn't be said for a lot of those batters. To justify that price tag, though, it's very tough. The road is still uphill, I think, to justify the price tag, but it kind of sets the market for everything below it too. When the super goes that high, everything else kind of can fall in line behind it. I
Right.
think it's, I wouldn't have been shocked if it went for more. I think I would have been fairly shocked if it went for a lot less. So I think I'm actually going to say it went for slightly less than I expected. I figured maybe 100K, but longer term value is always tough, but I am kind of surprised. I thought it would go slightly higher. He is pretty hyped.
Kind of my initial thought when I saw that was kind of what you said was where that seems like a bargain compared to what some guys like Jackson Holliday would demand. So that was my initial thought. But when I think about the fact that pitchers don't bring the lump sum of money that the position players do and the bats do, that does make sense.
Also, his market, I think, is probably not helping the situation. It is a very poor card market. So you kind of have to overcome all of that too.
Well,
I would be
that's good
interested
for you though,
eventually.
right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I feel like eventually I might end up getting one of his autos. I'm gonna wait. On this stuff, I'm usually fairly patient.
So that brings me to my next question. Would you rather have a first Bowman autograph or a game used RPA?
Well, what kind of RPA are we talking? Can
Well,
I pick?
a first Bowman is a sought after thing, but it's also kind of basic because I'm just talking about the base. So let's compare that to let's compare it to like a definitive.
Oh, Definitive is what I was hoping you were going to say, because I love Definitive. If it was Diamond Icons, I don't know if I would. If it was Diamond Icons, I think I would maybe take the base auto. I
Okay.
do like the first Bowmans. I really like the lineage of how long they've been around. I think baseball collectors value that a lot, and I also value it a lot. I think with the patch auto, I'm pretty picky. So I think unless it was one that I really like the appearance of, I think I'm just going to go the base auto. Just continuity,
That makes
fun to
total
have.
sense.
But I get very picky about the patch autos. So I would definitely go with that. It's fun. You can just, it's an easy way to collect all the guys on your team. Bowman firsts. It's just fun to have.
Yeah, like if a lot of times if a guy doesn't have any other cards, he'll have a first Bowman. So it is pretty cool. Like we have Sal Perez this year. He is not in any products to this point other than Bowman. He has a first Bowman. And I saw one for sale at one point earlier this season. I did not buy it, and I'm kind of regretting it.
Yeah, some of those first Bowmans and those kind of cards in those weirdo situations, like where there's no other stuff out, they can get kind of expensive due to the fact that it's the most sought after card of a person. I don't know, they're as the highest ceiling, right? Like the Bowman Super is the top of the line. But then paired with the fact there's nothing else good.
And then take it like this too. Like you tell somebody who's not in cards that, and you show them a first Bowman of somebody and you say, this is their very first card before they were even in the majors. And they even think that's cool. So that says something about what that card means.
Yeah. I mean, it's the first license, especially the autos, really. The first license. I get kind of weird about the Bowman first non-autos. It doesn't do it for me.
Right.
I kind of like the flagship base tops there. But if we're going autos, the Bowman first license autograph. It's great. And they usually come out so soon after the draft.
Yeah.
It's pretty quick, unless you're like the Dylan Cruz equivalent who gets held over to beef up Bowman the next year. Or like I remember they did that with Joey Bart back in the day. Go Pirates. Pirates catcher, Joey Bart. But yeah, I think it's pretty fun stuff.
Side note on Joey Bart, when his Topps flagship came out, I ripped a hobby box with I'm blanking on the name right now, Luff Brothers Trading.
Mm-hmm.
I hit like an SSP of Joey Bart on.
Oh, really?
Really cool.
At the time, that's a pretty big card.
Oh yeah, the comments in the live were going crazy.
Yeah, that's awesome. I actually opened a box of 2020. Or no, that's not 2020. Is it 21 maybe? It's either 21. Yeah. Or 21 or 22, I think it was. Those years after 2020 blur for me. But I actually won a box of that year for free in a Card Collector 2 Whatnot stream where I just sat and entered giveaways and I won a hobby box. And so that's how I got my Joey Bart base rookie.
The hobby is an amazing place where you can.
It was very exciting to receive a free hobby box in the mail.
I went to one of Ryan's trade nights. I think it was labeled like his biggest one ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I got there early and like the first 100 people got like a goodie bag or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And mine happened to be a special goodie bag. And I got a box of Big League so I could chase Ryan's card. And unfortunately, I did not pull one.
That's fun, though.
Yeah, it was fun to rip that for free.
Exactly. You can't beat that.
So something that is not free at all. A Michael Jordan game used logo man on card autograph, one of one PSA authentic, but with a 10 auto, sold for nearly $3 million, clocks in at $2.9 million.
That is a wonderful looking card, by the way.
It's from, yes, it is. It's from 2003 Ultimate Collection, so I saw it after set with the LeBron RPA in there.
I remember the LeBron of that when it surfaced in the last couple of years was a very large card. I don't remember if it sold or if people just kind of flaunted it around at a golden type auction house, but it definitely was around and like people were looking at it at the National. Like I think it was that type of thing. That is, the Jordan looks wonderful. And the auto is quite bold after all these years. It has been well cared for. $3 million is a pretty penny. I have trouble with the cards that go for that high. Because I think a lot of what I like about cards is that they're small. And like you can just kind of store them and, you know, I can collect a lot of my favorite guys and like a lot of cool stuff of my favorite guys. and I can put it in a box, and I can take out my box, I can go through it. And if I want to, I can stick a couple on my desk or stuff like that. But when you're spending $3 million, you are not just going to, oh, let me add this one to my box. Oh, let me maybe, if I feel like it, put this on my desk. You have to love Michael Jordan. And I got to imagine you could buy a signed game jersey for that. But I understand that they don't look... The card, I think, looks really, really cool. But it is quite a sum of money. About what the Luka went for, I saw.
Yeah.
The Luka, his Luka's best card.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting.
I don't know if the Luka was game worn or not.
It's not. It's just a player worn NT RPA that went for... What was it, 4.5 back in the day? And then it did 3, and then they sold it again for like in the 3 neighborhood.
Just personal preference, I would not touch that.
Oh no.
And foot pole.
No, I would not buy a Luka for, I would not, if I had that money, I would never do that. But it's interesting though, because it is like Luka's unequivocally best card. And like, I don't know what other, I have no idea how many Logo Man autos of Jordan there are. There can't be many.
I can't imagine there's many. With
and that one doesn't that
got cut off from making cards. I can't imagine from making like licensed cards. I know they still make cards, but when they stopped making basketball cards with logos, I can't imagine there's much with them stopping in 2009.
It is really cool to see stuff like that surface, though.
Absolutely.
You used to see that type of stuff surface way more often a couple years ago. So it's a fun little flashback to when we kind of got spoiled and didn't even know it with incredible cards hitting auction blocks. Say what you will about the pricing and everything, but just the cool cards surfacing.
Well, the thing with something like that is you don't know if it's going to pop up again. So if you want it, you got to make a play for it.
Yeah, that you really don't. You really don't. It's not, you're talking one of one, and the people who can afford that type of card can probably just sock it away. And they're
all
not
my,
too worried.
All of my
Mickey
101s are just stocked away. Every single one. If I buy a 101, I usually keep it. There's got to be a big reason for me to move something. Like that 2015 Super Fractor. I'm bringing it to Detroit this weekend, but I can guarantee you it's not getting moved. And it will not be moved.
2015 is a good looking year, too. I really like that design. Yeah, I mean, my PC is starting to age. Like, you know, it's starting to get older in my collection. The stuff that I have that's the top cards, there is very little movement in the top ranks of my PC. And I some of that stuff I've declined. One of the cards in particular, I've fended off many offers for. Not my most valuable one by far, but it's interesting. People do kind of hunt for some of those really cool cards, but if the person who has them isn't going to sell, you just can't get them.
I'm sure I'm going to have to put in some work fending off offers this weekend.
Yeah, it'll definitely draw some interest. I mean,
what I'm bringing is trade bait. So if in case I see something that I don't want to go home without, ideally I really want a Riley Green game used Logo Man rookie autograph. So if I see something like that, I might
a game used Logo Man. That would be nice.
Alec, I was talking with Alec a couple weeks ago when the 5-star popped up, and I was like, man, are you gonna go after this? Because he's the Riley Green collector. And
you showed me his page. It's awesome. Yeah.
And he was nice enough to sell me some of his stuff. So if something like that pops up, I always message him first. And I'm like, do you want this? If not, I'm going to go after it. And he ended up wanting that. So I'm hoping I find one at the show that he doesn't want.
Yeah, that's kind of the blessing and the curse of those type of group chat slash card relationships. You know, people help you find stuff, but often you cross paths on the same things that you want. And then there's that awkward, especially on one-of-one scenarios where you both kind of want it. And sometimes you just gotta let it go and you just say, okay, well, who's gonna have the higher offer? And we're just gonna have to do it the old-fashioned way. But so what is that what you would you are, is there any Miggy you'd hope to find?
I'm really content with my Miggy collection. I'm very proud of it. I've been working on that since I got serious about cards. I'm kind of having a shift right now to where if I'm going to pick up like a non one of one, I want it to be like 2012, 2013, or 2014, where he was just like on top of the entire world, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That era of cards are special to me, and I think those will mean more longer than his more recent stuff. So
He's got a big catalog.
yes, he does.
He's interesting because he did not sign a lot for a long time. And I think recently I've seen a couple more autos start to appear of him in newer sets. I could be wrong, but he was a pretty scarce signer for a very long time. Like, I bet in 2013, 12, 13, 14, he is not in many products.
I
Five
picked
star, maybe. Oh, he's in 2014, five star, I think. That is a beautiful set.
that would be cool. That's a new safe search. Thanks, Robbie.
Those are very nice. I used to love 2014, five star. I think he's a booklet, if I'm not mistaken.
I have a nasty Mickey booklet that I want to show you after the show. I have a 2012 museum collection Miguel Cabrera, and it's got dual patch windows on it, and it's got a sticker auto, but the kind of sticker auto where you can barely tell it's a sticker.
Yeah,
And
the kind we all want.
it's jersey number two. And I picked that up at the very first B Sports in the Fort card show in Fort Wayne. So that one's
Cool.
pretty cool.
I'd
But
say so.
we are running out of time. We only have 6 minutes left, and I have a couple more things I want to cover. So back to the Jordan. Would you rather have one of his rarest 90s inserts in a high grade so that way you know it's super scarce, or this Logo Man one of one? Values out the window, just personal
I think the
preference.
Logo Man 101.
That's where I'm going to. I
Yeah,
mean,
I think it's a pretty easy choice for me.
you can.
It isn't helped by the fact that I don't have the nostalgia for the 90s parallels the way some people do. But for me, it's that card is right in my collecting wheelhouse.
Yeah, I'm a big game use person as well. Like I had a couple of Riley Green RPAs that I bought at the first ships I want to show this year, and they were Inception, but not game used. I ended up moving those fairly quickly to Alec in exchange for game used Diamond Icons. Just the game used stuff is special in my opinion. It's the reason I don't like football very much right now.
The football is tough, and now it's beyond not game used. Now we're to no more player worn. It is tough. I would love to see some vet game used piece patch autos for football, like the way it is in every other sport.
Well, Michael Rubin definitely listens to this podcast,
Well, if
so.
he, I'm sure he will. He's probably searching for all the new shows. I'm gonna listen to the two of us and then pony up for a bunch of game used jerseys when his product sells without them. But I would like it.
So, very last thing,
Yeah.
NBA Finals. Celtics versus Mavericks. Luka finally playing meaningful basketball. I want to hear your picks, and I want to talk about Luka if we have time.
I think it's Celtics in five. I hate it, but I think that. I'm just gonna, and then that's all I got. I really think I think the T-Wolves would have had a better chance. I think the Celtics are gonna steamroll the Mavs.
I got Mavericks and six.
Wow, a very different prediction. Absolutely. I think the Celtics got too many guys who play well both ways.
They're getting Porzingis back too.
Yeah, I think the Celtics are tough. They're the best. They're the better roster by so much.
Yeah, but I mean, Kyrie Irving is a bad dude. I'm not saying it isn't.
I'm not saying the Mavs haven't
experience and just alpha male attitude onto that court, and you know other guys are going to see that and they're going to be inspired and they're going to be working their tails off for Luka and Kyrie. So I think
the Mavs are no doubt very good. You don't make it to the finals by accident. Right. And I would argue they played a fairly tough road to the finals. Then the Celtics got a very easy road to the finals. Celtics practically got to walk right in the door, and the Mavs did not have that luxury. But I can't bet against the Celtics. I really do think.
I think the best team that the Celtics played was the Donovan Mitchell. The Cavs without Donovan Mitchell. So if that says anything.
Yeah. They just kind of got to walk over everybody else.
For everybody listening, that is with complete bias. I'm a Cavs fan.
Yeah. Although they really didn't play anybody.
Didn't play anybody. Every time they played somebody, a star was hurt. So
it's true.
But it is, I think we can both agree that it is good for the hobby, good for the collectors, and good for the NBA for Luka to be playing meaningful basketball, and it'll be very fun to watch.
Oh yeah.
All right.
You gonna wrap there, Joe?
Yep, I think that's all we got. So we will be back next week. Thank you to everybody that tuned in for the very first episode of The Mind of a Collector. Stick with us as we expand, and we look to have guests on regularly, pick their brain about their collections and what makes them tick. So that we got some big plans, and we're really excited.
Yeah. Stay tuned, guys. More to come.